I don't have to tell you, but I've got to tell you, East Ridge is alive. Amen. It is absolutely alive. And we're about to enter into a new era for our church, a new phase in the history of East Ridge. East Ridge began back in 2005 with a merger of two congregations, the 12th Street Baptist Church and the Murray Street Baptist Church, merged and became and formed East Ridge. We weren't on the ridge out here then, but we had already bought the land, and that's how we got the name. It's the, believe it or not, you're on a ridge sit right now. You're at the highest point here. You say, really? Oh, yeah, well, you really are. The water goes that way, the water drains off that way. We're on top of the ridge. That's how we got the name, East Ridge, on the east side of Lake Charles. It's kind of a common sense thing. But that's how East Ridge Baptist Church was formed back in 2005. And we were worshiping at the Murray Street location until 2010 when we relocated into this beautiful building. Took a while to get it built. But we've been here ever since 2010. Since then, we've survived three hurricanes and COVID. All kinds of other things have happened. We've had babies born. We've had loved ones, members going on to be with the Lord, waiting in heaven for us to see us one day. Other people have just joined and said, man, I like this church. This feels like home to me. I want to be a part of this. And many of you have done that. You've joined this church, and others, hopefully, are contemplating it. Some of you have been visiting forever, and that's fine. We're glad to have you. But that's who East Ridge is. That's what we've done and what's happened. But God has blessed us. He has blessed us so much through these years, through the hurricanes and the COVID and all of the rest of that. And one of the things that God blessed us with was four portable classrooms, portable buildings. They came about after Hurricane Rita, okay? Back in 2005, Hurricane Rita. When we were at Murray Street, the storm took away the sanctuary. And so we needed more room, and we remodeled and needed some classrooms, so we got portable buildings and put a roof over it. And I remember when they tore down the sanctuary, the man is with us here this morning that literally tore the church down. Right, Joey? He did. He came in one morning with a traco and I said, watch this. And he took it down, and I'll never forget this. If I ever forget Joey's name, I won't forget this. I saw him take the steeple off the top of the building and lay it on the ground just as gently as you'd lay a baby in his mother's arms. And he said, here, guys, y'all might want this later. We did. And we moved it back and we put it on the building. But that's part of the history of East Ridge. But we've been out here since 2010, and we've had those portable buildings. You see, they're getting kind of old. And some of you who go to Sunday school in them say, man, I'll be glad when we get out of here. They're just like old, musty old buildings, and we got to go. That's why we got a new one. That's why we're building this new building. It's not to bring glory or honor to anybody in particular, but it's of a necessity. And so this new education building is going to be dedicated next Sunday morning at the close of the worship service. And I would encourage you to come and be here and be part of it. We're going to have a wonderful time doing that. And I want to let you know this too. Over these years, God has blessed us financially to the point that by the end of this year, this building should be paid for. Amen. Praise God for that, okay? I mean, that's good news. But we're also in debt for that one. And that's not bad news either, because God has blessed us and we have two building funds going. One of them has been officially named the building fund all these years, which you've been contributing to, and that's how we've been able to pay this off. But the other fund is called Forward in Faith. And that was to separate the fund for the new construction here. $650,000 building. We've already got we've got $350,000 of it, and we only had to borrow $300,000. You see, that's a lot of money. Sure it is. But I found out God's not broke, and if people aren't broke, and over a period of time, we'll pay for it, and it'll be taken care of. And so we just have to seek the Lord on what He would have us to do to go forward in faith as individuals, saying, Lord, how big of help should I be on this? What should I need to do on this? And just simply ask God what you should do. And whatever He tells you, that's right. We're not taking pledge cards or anything like that. That's between you and God. It's His building, His ministry, and you're His people, and the money He has in our pocket still belongs to Him. So it's an impersonal thing. And so just do what God says do. Ask Him, how can I help? What should I do? Show me Your will, Lord, and help me to be obedient. When God shows us His will on anything, and we're obedient, That's called faith. Amen. Forward in faith. That's what it's all about. And when we do that, we'll be blessed. God always blesses faith that results in obedience. Can y'all put that up there for me? God always blesses faith that results in obedience. You might want to put that on your refrigerator door. You may want to put that on your computer to where it pops up every morning, looks at you. God always blesses faith that results in obedience, no matter what the subject is. Well, building this new building is because it's needed. That's not the primary mission of Eastridge at all. In Matthew chapter 28, we find the primary mission and primary ministry of Eastridge Baptist Church. Matthew 28, verse 19. Give you a moment to find that. I've got to turn a page too. Well, let's back up and start with 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has all power. And then he says, go ye therefore. What's the therefore, therefore? But to remind you that he has all the power. And go all therefore into all the nations, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Listen to what he's saying. He said, here are my instructions for you. Go into all the world. Does that leave any place out? Does that include Lake Charles? Yes, it does. Does that include the Blue Settlement? Yes, it does. It includes all of the world, wherever our world happens to be. And we are to teach everybody, no matter where they're from or who they are, no matter what nationality, what race they might be, doesn't matter. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which last Sunday we just baptized two people. And teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you. And so what you have there as a picture of is a disciple. When people come to trust the Lord Jesus and they follow him, they are his disciples. So what is he telling us to do? Be a disciple, go make disciples. Amen. How does that really happen? Well, it starts this way. It starts with a lost sinner, and we all start that way, who one day wakes up and finds out, I'm a lost sinner. I'm guilty. I'll never make it to heaven on my own. I'm not good enough. Can't be. But God has a plan for me, and it's this plan called the good news, the gospel message. His plan has to do with his son coming from heaven and dying in my place on a cross, taking my punishment so I can be forgiven based on what Jesus did. This lost sinner found this information and said, somehow somebody did what Jesus told him to do, went and told him about it. And they said, yes. That's exactly right. Jesus, you're the one I need to save me. So Jesus, I'm asking you to come save me. Forgive my sins and save me. And they trust Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, and they are saved. And from that moment on, when they follow Jesus, you know what they are? They're disciples. They're saved sinners who have become disciples. That's God's plan for everybody. It's God's plan for all of us. And so the work of the church is to fill out God's plan for everybody. For lost sinners to find out there's a Savior, his name is Jesus, put their faith and trust in him to be saved and then follow him. That's what it's all about. And so that's what our ministry is all about at Eastridge. We need to do exactly that. That needs to be our primary mission, our primary ministry. Maybe we ought to call this new building, instead of an education building or disciple building, maybe we ought to call it disciple building. Not a Sunday school building, but a disciple building. I don't know. We're not necessarily going to put a sign on it. But that's what we want to see take place there. It's wonderful people to gather together in the building, fellowship, like we do in Sunday school classes. That's good fellowship. It really is. Nothing wrong with it. It's wonderful to study God's Word together. That's what we do there. That's what we do in our Sunday school classes. But the greatest thing that can happen in any small group of people that are studying God's Word together is for a new disciple to be made, and older disciples to be better equipped to follow the Lord Jesus. Disciples. That's what it's going to be all about. So I don't know that we're going to put a sign on the building. We probably won't. But if you'll think about it in that context, you'll say, that's what we need to do there. That's why we're building that building. And maybe you're thinking, maybe I need to become a disciple. I'm out. Maybe I'm not yet, but it sounds good. That's what I need to do. If so, let God speak to your heart and do whatever He tells you to do. Remember what we said a moment ago, that faith that ends in obedience is blessed? Well, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Now, this new building is a step forward, but it's not the big step that East Ridge needs to make. Starting now, we're going to acknowledge that God's purpose for putting East Ridge on the east side of Lake Charles is to make disciples. Not to have a church building that looks nice on this piece of property in this location. The purpose of us being here is to make disciples. You say, well, haven't we been doing that? Honestly, not too well. You say, really? Oh, listen, we have been very, very effective as far as sharing the gospel with people, sharing Christ with people. We've done it all kinds of ways. Yes, we're on the radio. Yes, we're on television. Yes, we're all over the internet. You can find us all kinds of places on the internet. And yes, we pass out gospel tracts by the thousands at every event we possibly can. Yes, we even go out into neighborhoods and have block parties and do different things we possibly can to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. Thousands of gospel tracts handed out is not the same as making one disciple. It may result in that person becoming a disciple, but it's not the same as one-on-one witnessing, saying my task as a child of God, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, is to, for me to go make another disciple. And that's going to be the big step, East Ridge, that we're going to see about making. That we are going to find ourselves as individual disciple makers. We've got plans to do that. Some of you may panic when you hear that. But every member needs to see it's our responsibility to share Jesus and help make disciples and become personal evangelists. I've never heard that term before. This last week, I was praying about this, and the Lord put it on my heart about a week and a half ago, and I had to repent. He crushed me when He said, Alan, you've done so much for all these years. You preached the gospel so many thousands of times in so many different ways, and you've done all these things. The church has done all these things that we just went through. But you haven't done what I told you to do. The individuals have not been trained to make disciples. I'm telling you, God broke me with this. As your pastor, I'm telling you that. But He said it's not too late to fix it. We need to become personal evangelists. In order to do that, we have to realize it's going to require our accepting this as God's plan for our individual lives. It's going to require our being trained to do the job. Because most people, most Sunday school teachers, most Sunday school students, most Christian people that I know say, well, I really don't know how. I'd like to do it. I know I'm supposed to do it, but I really don't know how. Guess we're going to fix that. We're going to have all kinds of training sessions, training you to overcome whatever shyness you might have. And some of you are going to say, you don't know how big my shyness is. I'm so shy. Oh, listen, I don't even want to look at myself in the mirror in the morning. Some of you say, you cannot overcome my shyness. I can't, but God can. And we're going to be using His Word to teach and to train in order to enable us to become those personal evangelists that we need to be. You may say, well, I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus. I may get it all wrong. We're going to train you and teach you to where you'll overcome your fear. You won't have that fear anymore. You'll find out that you'll be able to do what God has called us all to do. The insecurities can disappear, and all the other things that have hindered us in the past won't hinder us anymore. As we pray together, we work together on this, we get trained together on this, we're going to see God doing some marvelous, marvelous things. He will enable us to do something we never thought possible, maybe having some intentional conversations with people about God. I mean, that's the purpose of that conversation. About faith. About the Lord Jesus. About their salvation. We are surrounded by lost souls everywhere we look. Brother Jim and I were talking this morning. He told me he was amazed at how many people, they did a street survey. They were asking people about Jesus. Who's Jesus? And he was amazed at how many did not have a clue. We don't know what city that was in, but it could have been in Lake Charles just as easy. You can walk down the street and ask, who's Jesus? Well, Jesus, he lived down. No, not Jesus. Jesus. Nothing wrong with Jesus. That's just Spanish. They knew him personally, but the Lord and Savior. And you say, oh, well, who is he? He's God's son, I guess. Get all kinds of answers. Who is he to you personally? You get all kinds of answers. But who is he to you personally? Is he just the Savior, or is he your Savior? He becomes your Savior when you put your faith and trust in him. Up to that point, he is the Savior who can become your Savior. Are you with me? And this is something we've got to teach the world around us because they need to hear it. Knowing about Jesus is not knowing the same as knowing Jesus. And having a personal relationship with him as your personal Savior and the Lord of your life. This is what we're going to be doing. We're going to work on teaching and training ourselves to do it. Now, in order for this to happen, we're probably going to have to overcome some pride. Yeah, we are. We're going to have to risk our reputation, maybe as individuals getting into these intentional conversations about the Lord or about faith or whatever. Maybe even lose some friends over it. So I don't know if I want to do that. Well, let me ask you. Is it worth whatever is required to see a soul saved? Somebody you know, somebody's lost. Is it worth whatever is required of you to see that happen? Is it worth it? If it costs me my reputation, so what? If it empties my wallet, so what? If somebody else says, I'm a kook, so what? If that individual trusts Jesus and is born again and I get to kick up gold dust on the streets of heaven one day with that individual, so what? That's what matters. Where we spend eternity is what matters. And so the mission of the church is to help as many people find out what they need to know so that they get a chance to pray and trust Jesus, be born again and become disciples and spend an eternity in heaven with him. We've got to make that clear. That is the number one priority of the church. Right now, we have recently begun and we're examining every ministry of our church to see what we need to do to make it a disciple-making ministry. I say ministry, you can include that just activities. What do we have to do? We began with the sisters meeting and the Ignite meeting with Dondi and the ladies. So Dondi's sick this morning. She's not able to be here. We had a conversation, basically what we're just now talking about, and we prayed about it and said, yes. The sisters have been a very effective group for years and years and years, and then the Ignite ladies ministry kind of came in and dovetailed with them, and so we've got two ladies ministries going on at the same time. But they've done a great job of fellowshipping together, of praying together, focusing on missions and missionaries together, doing different ministries and helping people together. But they haven't become personal evangelists. That hasn't been the focal point of their ministry. But that's going to change because we're going to start having training sessions in sisters' meetings. Oh, I don't mean a two-hour session. I'm talking about a 15-minute session of how to use a different tool. When I say a tool, I'm talking about something God has given us that we can share with you to make it very easy to share the gospel, little visual things. There's a number of them out there that we can use, and we'll be using as many as we can. So that the next time they meet again, the next month, if they'll take the information that they've learned, and they've learned how to do it, And enough of the fears have been removed that in the course of that month, those ladies, 10, 12, 15 of them, how many ever there are, if those ladies will go out into their world and be conscious, God has put me here to make disciples. I'm having this conversation because this person needs Jesus. And I'm praying for that individual. I'm praying that God will give me a chance to do it. If they'll do those kinds of things, can you imagine what the next sister's meeting is going to be like if three ladies walk in there and say, listen, I just got saved. This sister, she told me about Jesus. She told me how to be saved. And now I'm going to heaven where I wasn't before. Can you imagine what that's going to do to the sister's meetings? And the next month, again and again, why not? Put that the focus of the sister's meeting. Now, gentlemen, you're not getting off the hook either. Our brotherhood functions fantastically. We've got one of the best brotherhoods going on anywhere that I know of. And this group of men that fellowship together once a month, we have a great meal. We have a time of prayer. We have somebody sharing a devotional. And it's wonderful. But we haven't focused on winning souls to Christ and making disciples. We've talked about it, but we haven't been trained in it. That's changing. Next brotherhood meeting, brother, we're going to set aside some time for training our men to talk to other men about the Lord Jesus. Just like ladies can talk to other ladies easier than sometimes a man could talk to a lady, because you ladies all got something in common that we don't. You see life out of different eyes than we do. You deal with different things in your homes and your families and your marriages and your kids and grandkids that we don't deal with. And so ladies are uniquely equipped to win other ladies to Christ, and so it is with men. We can go out hunting and fishing together and be good old boys together and talk about Jesus. Training men to be personal evangelists. Men leading men and men leading boys to Christ. And then we look at our teenagers. That's K, teenagers. Our senior adults. Our senior adults are alive and well. They're doing great. They go bowling. They have beanbag baseball every Thursday night. And once a month go out for breakfast. And I don't know what else y'all do except have a good time. And this is wonderful. It's great fellowship. Christian people getting together and sometimes having others that come and join your group. I know in beanbag baseball they're not all members of our church. But the focal point has not been making disciples. Guess what, teenagers? You're not too old to make disciples. You're not too old to learn a new way to present Jesus that'll excite you so much. Oh, I just got to go plug this in. I got to use this to go talk to somebody. That's part of the game plan. That's one of the things that's going to change. And we can go all the way down. We're going to be talking about our youth. They're going to do the same thing. The youth are going to be taught that they're not exempt. In fact, they're uniquely qualified to lead their peers to Christ. Would a teenager listen to a teenager or an adult parent figure? Which is more likely? They're going to listen to another kid. Another teenager said, man, I've been born again. My life has changed. Things are not the same at my house since Daddy got saved. Things are not the same that it was before Mama got saved. Listen, when one teenager starts witnessing to another teenager, that other teenager is going to listen a lot more readily than if it's an old geezer like me talking to him. Amen. Or a younger geezer, okay? So what are we going to do? Our youth are going to learn how to become personal evangelists. That's not all they're going to do, but it's going to get added into their program of everything else that they're doing, and they're doing a lot of good stuff. I'm not saying our programs are bad. They're good. But we're going to get a new focus on winning people to Christ and making disciples. The college age group is the same. The children's ministry, we're going to be doing the same. And we share Jesus with our kids. But we're going to have to make a focus on our children's ministry to see somehow to reach mama and daddy of these kids. Because we see we would have a lot more children in our children's ministry if our mother and daddies got saved and saw the necessity for their child learning about the Lord. So yes, we're going to do that. All the other events that we have, we've got a homeless ministry that's going on, and it's going to become even more about seeing souls saved than it is right now. Providing for physical needs, yes. Sharing the gospel, yes. Making disciples, even more so. Even more so. All the other events that we have, the invitations we send out for church dinners and crawfish boils and all of these things that we do, Those invitations are going to go out intentionally to invite somebody to be a part of it. Come eat crawfish, because I want to tell you about Jesus when you got your hands full of that old sticky burning stuff from that crawfish. Why? Because the most important thing I can do is to tell you how to be saved. The most important thing I can do is to help you become a disciple, because it's going to determine where you spend eternity. It'll be heaven instead of hell. I want to invite you to come eat crawfish. Even if I don't eat crawfish, I want you to do that. Or whatever the event might be, we need to focus on this and change our thinking. And trust me, we're going to be given the right tools to see this happen. Tools and training and in all the encouragement we can. So the challenge goes out to all of us. It's called the Great Ministry, a Great Commission. Go into all the world. That's your world, my world. You may not go across an ocean. You don't have to. Your world's right here, and it's small, and you just see a few people. That's your world. Go into all the world and make disciples. That's it. That's what God's called us to do with whatever it takes, because the results are worth it. So the questions are simple. I've got three. If you're a Christian already, maybe a part of this church, maybe not, but if you're a Christian already, let me ask you, will you commit to doing your part to help Eastridge become a disciple-making church? Amen. Will you do your part by becoming a personal evangelist? Are you willing to say, it's going to take some work on my part, it's going to take my overcoming years of saying no to say, yes, I can and I will? Will you be willing to become a disciple maker? So that's my questions for you, church. Would you become a disciple maker? There's no doubt that's what God called us to do. That's what Jesus told his disciples 2,000 years ago. He's still telling us now. Are we willing to obey our Lord? You may be saying, well, no, I'm not. But if you're not willing, maybe it's because you need to become a disciple. Maybe you've heard this morning saying, you're talking about what I need. That's what I need the church to help me do. I need to repent of my sins. I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. I need to be saved, and I need to follow Jesus and be a disciple. If that's you, we're going to give you a chance right now. If God's been speaking to your heart along those lines, here's your chance to do what He's telling you to do. And you'll always, always, always be glad you did. So we're going to take a moment and pray together. If you're not a disciple of the Lord Jesus right now, if you haven't been saved and you're not following Him right now, I want you to pray. If God's leading you and you know it's the right thing for you to do, it's time to pray. You're not guaranteed another opportunity, but you got this one. Admit to God, I am a sinner. I've broken your commandments. And I'm sorry. As best you can, repent of those sins. That simply means, I don't want to do it anymore. God, forgive me for living my life my way instead of your way. Can you pray that this morning and really mean it? And if you believe Jesus is God's Son and He died on the cross for your sins and rose from the grave, and is alive right now and can save you, if you really believe that, would you ask Him to save you now? He's listening. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. You took my punishment. Please save me. Come into my heart and into my life and save me now, please. Can you pray that? If you can, do. And if you can pray that and really mean it, commit yourself to following Him, becoming His disciple. Say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. You lead, I follow. You're the Lord and Master. If you can pray that and mean it, please do right now. You'll never get a better chance than right now. Heavenly Father, I pray now for those who just prayed that prayer or one close to it, if they really meant it. Father, I pray that you'll help them to rejoice in the fact that you've just been waiting for them to ask, waiting for them to surrender, to become a disciple. And you said yes to them. And Father, I pray that you'll give them the boldness that it takes to come forward and say, I just prayed and trusted Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of that. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer and you really meant it for the very first time, let me see. Anybody? Just pray. I just prayed and asked Jesus to come in my heart and save me. I never did before, but I did now, and I meant it. Anybody? Okay. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I like it. When the minute we give an invitation to come forward, you can come and make it public. It'd be a good time to do that. But now, Christians, for all of you that we've been talking to about becoming personal disciple makers, personal evangelists, how many of you today can honestly say, I'm willing to try my best to do that? I want to be a disciple maker. I'm not satisfied with just sitting in the seat in the church and occupying. Thank you. God bless you, every one of you. And we're going to pray for you now. Father, you just saw these hands go up. More than that, you saw what's in their hearts. These people are saying, we want to become disciple makers because it needs to be done. And that's our task. I pray you'll bless them, that you'll remove every doubt, every fear, every obstacle, and fill their hearts with joy, realizing that they can be a part of what you will do and have an eternal, lasting value for somebody else as they help come and make disciples. Bless them now. And Father, I pray for others that might be here this morning. Maybe Christians need to rededicate their lives to you. I pray they'll do it right now. Maybe they've wandered off and need to come home. Maybe there's somebody who needs to join this church. Father, I pray that your will might be done, that they'll make that known. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.